Welcome back to a brand new Creative Encounter Podcast episode. I'm your host, Juez E. Payne, and you are back for episode 69 of this podcast. And today I am here at the Project Hood Entrepreneurship Youth Panel event with, if you guys remember, Aisha Sturt event. Aisha was on episode 33 of our podcast and we had a great time. And now she has this awesome event where we are supporting the youth and entrepreneurship. But Aisha, I want you to tell people what this event is and what it's about.
Yeah, so I've been facilitating a 6-week entrepreneurship cohort for our youth, ranging from 16 to 24. It's been an incredible time, just teaching them to really just have the basics of building a business, getting out that ideation phase. But today, it's like really tying everything in. It's the last day tying everything in. So I just really brought some incredible friends that are entrepreneurs that are doing what our youth want to do in the industries that they want to do it in, to just pour into them, you know, really speak to them about what it feels like to be an entrepreneur, take their idea and make it into a reality, build relationships, and being able to understand, like, failure is not an option, but as an entrepreneur, you fail just to win again.
That's it. Wow. You know? I love it. Come on, let's go. And that's one thing that we talk about, is like that the failing is actually the stepping stones that's taking us to that next level, that next season, everything. It's all part of it.
Yeah.
It's all part of it. So good. So in this episode, we are going to show bits and pieces from the panel discussion. It's going to be great. So let's dive in.
Okay, so this is the final day of our youth entrepreneurship 6-week class. Y'all feeling good? Y'all learned a lot? Okay, awesome, awesome. Well, y'all know today we have our guest speakers, some incredible entrepreneurs, incredible people as well, that's going to share their experience and things with you guys. All right, so you guys, I want y'all to give it up for our guests. Just want to thank you guys so much for taking time out just to be with us today. So we come from like developing an entrepreneur mindset. You know, we're always thinking about what we want to do, but it's like, okay, we aspire to be these things. Let's talk about how do we develop an entrepreneur mindset. So it's more like talking about that growth mindset versus that fixed mindset, you know. In addition to that, choosing and developing a business idea. I think we have like at least 4 so far of our students that do have businesses, which is really, really great. And then some of our students, they have an idea. We're kind of unpacking all of that, right? In addition to that, they learn what it takes to establish your business. So I'm sure they'll have a lot of questions for you guys on that as well. And then we had 2 weeks of like, can't have no business and your finances are all over the place, right? So we had a lot of money. It was like just goals and money management, you know? And then they gave their presentations this past Tuesday, which was really incredible, which they'll be able to talk to you guys about. And yeah, our last day, we have you guys here. So I'm super excited to have you guys here and we're just gonna get into it. So I'm gonna just introduce you all. So we have Brittany Watkins. She's a creative entrepreneur based in Chicago, Illinois, the chief inspiration officer of Faultless Inspirations. She offers calligraphy for weddings, special events, and corporate activations. In addition to calligraphy businesses, Brittany is a licensed life producer. I like how you like, instead of just saying, because is it life insurance, right? Instead of saying life insurance, how you just elevated the word life.
It's actually the importance.
Is it? Yeah. Teach us something, okay? Because I'm like life producer. Okay, you never heard that. I really like that. Who helps people find the right coverage to protect their loved ones. Really love that. Then we have Keisha Howard, creator of Sugar Gamers, the world's largest, the longest running gaming and tech community geared towards inclusivity. Her experience spans from introducing game design, media literacy to unprivileged youth, such as her partnerships with Adidas and NBA on tech advocacy. It's so much. I'm gonna let you get into all that, okay? I can keep going. I'm like, okay, that's a lot. But I'm definitely gonna let you get into everything that you've done, traveling out of the country, in the country, all this stuff, which is really incredible. And then we have Juette Payne. He's a contemporary gospel recording artist with a heart for God, the arts, and creatives. He is also the host of the Creative Encounter podcast, which I was a guest on. And oh my God, it was absolutely incredible. Where he interviews Christian creatives, hey, that's me, to highlight their gifts as they build the kingdom of God. And then our last, but not least, incredible guest, Lemon Gray. He's from Gary, Indiana. He's a gospel music, there we go, gospel music, pop R&B producer, vocal producer, professional vocal BGV. What is that?
Background.
You better. Okay. His resume includes, is that working and performing with, right? Yeah, Fred Hammond, Bashan Mitchell, Timbaland, Jang Zhang, and so many other, and I'll let you get into all of that. But you guys, give it up for our guests. And then I am going to, I'm going to go ahead and let Brittany, if you want to kick it off with just what inspired you just to say yes to just coming and just being a part of the panel?
So I actually had this shared across my timeline by my cousin, and I was like, yes, because one of the biggest things that I love to do is talk to other people, regardless if they're youth, adults, really about the business, understanding how to kind of tap into, like if you are creative, tapping into that in order to make money from it. And so I also have a background. I ran a nonprofit for 6 years. It was called Be Girls, and it was dedicated to basically empowering young girls ages 11 through 18. And so at the time when I stopped Be Girls, it was really because I was pivoting in a different direction. It was a hip hop, obviously, like group, hip hop education and entrepreneurship as well. But at the time when I stopped it, it was me kind of getting back into church, getting back into God. So I didn't really know where to go with that. And since then, I've been looking for the different opportunities, especially in the area that I'm in now, to kind of bring that back to the forefront where I'm working with youth, young adults, and so forth.
Awesome, awesome. Thanks for sharing. We're so grateful to have you here. What about you, Keisha?
Oh, me. So the question is like, oh, what made me come here today?
Yeah.
Oh, like I work in emerging technology. So like talking to people like you, young people, like I am where you're consuming. So your phones, video games, anything on the internet is where I work. So I work in the spaces like, well, how do we get people to buy? How do we get people to make content? And what is that content? And what is the messaging? And in this good year of 2024, I know you all have been through a lot. There's been a pandemic, there's been just different social and economic and spiritual changes. And it's really important that we're present and I am able to share with you what I've learned in my journey being an entrepreneur. Hopefully it can help you in the future, because you're not gonna be able to really have a business without use of technology. So I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Awesome, thank you so much.
Yeah, so I saw your status on Facebook, you know, and everything, and I was like, yo.
I was like, please help us, help us.
Yeah, right.
How can you not?
I was like, I don't know how you put this there. You should just hit me up directly.
Right.
No, but I was just really excited because my heart is for just like the next generation and entrepreneurship and using your God-given gifts and talents as that catalyst to change the world, you know? And that's how it was taught in our school systems, you know? From, you know, ages 4 or 5 when you're in school up until you graduate, they teach you to get good grades so you can go work for someone else. You know, there's nowhere in there where they build in teaching you to develop and create your own based off of what God already put in you from when you were born, you know? So my heart is to like, just tell the world like, yo, you already have everything. Now we gotta shift that mindset and get you guys going into it, you know? So when I heard about this, I was like, I had to jump in, you know? So I'm excited to see you guys.
Awesome, awesome.
So I'm just gonna echo what they've already said, pretty much. I'm just blessed to be a blessing. I see a couple of familiar faces who knew me, kind of saw me from when I was learning here actually at the church in the studio upstairs. And so now to come back and give back to you all is a dream come true. So, I mean, I'm an open book. Whenever y'all want to know, I'm here to share.
Awesome, awesome. So we're going to jump into some questions that our youth, you know, I'm calling them youth, but they are young adults, okay? What'd you say? You're like, yes, girl. Stop calling us youth. But we're going to jump into some questions for our guests. So you guys have sheets. If you have, this is just a guide for you all. We've already talked about that. So what questions do you guys have for our guests?
I kind of like fell into this. I moved here from Gary to Chicago and ended up really just like living in the studio upstairs for a number of years. And from that point, I kind of honed my craft, and that's why I figured I had a gift, and I learned everything. This is way before the YouTube tutorials. Now you can go on YouTube and learn anything about everything. Back then, it wasn't that. It was very, YouTube was more entertainment, kind of church little clips, funny clips. It wasn't educational at all. So I had to be upstairs in the studio, and I work with, you know, New Beginners has had everybody from New Direction coming here, from Sean Mitchell to any gospel artist you can think of has been here and been in that studio. And so from that, I just learned it was my gift. And then from there, God just started opening door after door after door, from all the way from 2013, even to right now to this day. I solely do everything music, and that's how I'm able to provide for my family. So.
And then when it comes to just your business, like your business entity, like...
Oh, I do have an LLC. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I do have an LLC. It's called Sweet 1121. LLC, my entertainment company and everything. And my publishing is different because I have a PRO from BMI. That's a publishing company, and my name there is different. It's, I named it after my daughter, so it's not Joe Maddie Music. JoJo and Madison are my daughters. So, yeah.
Awesome, awesome. Thanks. And then Keisha, and then Brittany, what inspired you both to pursue the field that you're in? I'm going to start with you, Keisha.
I love stories. I love, sort of immersing myself in my imagination. So video games, I didn't even know at the time, which was like the 90s, early 2000s, that I could even have a career in video games, especially as a Black woman. And in 2008, 2009, the job that I worked for, I went to school for, I worked hard at, I was loyal to, disintegrated. There was nothing I could do. And it made me go back to the things I really loved. And on a fluke, I was like, well, maybe I can start something where a whole bunch of women who also like video games, we could, you know, have like sort of an organization for it. And since then, I've not been able to not have this business. So it's very inclusive now. It's very relevant to what people are doing, and it kind of fell into it very similar to you. It was just a point in my life. I thought I was going in one direction, and I was just put in another that was more in alignment with things I'm actually passionate about.
Awesome, thank you so much. What about you, Brittany?
So yeah, like everyone else, fell into it. So around almost 9 years ago, we were celebrating my grandmother's 80th birthday, and at the time, and still now, I'm very big into ancestry and history and genealogy. And so I was creating a family tree for her, and so I wanted to letter a scripture on it, but at the time I did not know calligraphy, and I had to use like these stencils. And so from there, it was really just this random thought I had. Well, if I ever need this, did not think I would actually need it. But if I ever need to do this ever again, I want to know how to do it myself. I don't want to have to rely on stencils. And then from there, it elevated to where after I started looking, because I've always had like a good type of like drawing skill where I could maybe look at something and recreate it. So from looking at different scripts and fonts, I wanted to then move from having to look at it to being able to do it myself, having my own scripts, having my own fonts. And so it became a business. started just posting videos on Instagram about, like, you know, sharing my talents with people. And, you know, I would get those requests like, oh, can you make me a mug? Can you make me this? Can you make me that? And it really just elevated from there of me honing in on kind of like what I wanted to do with the business, how I wanted to create my own niche for it. And then just really quickly in terms of the life producer, it was an opportunity that was presented to me. Right, like most recently, I actually just got my license in January. So it was about the fact that I'm pivoting in different directions with my business, but also having the flexibility to make more money. And even within a company, I am technically self-employed. So again, just another avenue, right? As an entrepreneur, I always believe that it's great to have multiple avenues, whether it's in the same business or if you're just looking for different streams of income in other areas. So that was why I chose to do that as well. And also just to really bring Wall Street to Main Street and help us and people who look like us, right? With, in case you don't know too, like in terms of life producer, we touched on it, but that is life insurance. And that is also, I am licensed to help finances and build up like annuities and 401ks, your retirements and things like that, that sometimes we don't think about even as being like younger. So definitely, you know, that's part of, I do calligraphy for weddings and these big special events. And then I go on and I reach back out and I say, are you covered for each one of these special events that just happen to be like, so.
That's awesome. Yeah. And Joette, you do so, like, you are a multifaceted entrepreneur. When it comes to just your business, what makes, what's unique about what you do than others in the industry?
So yes, like you mentioned, having multiple streams of income is a very wise thing to do. Pretty much, don't ever put yourself in a box, essentially. Whatever gifts you have, try to develop each and every one of those and see what God will do with that, right? So for me, like, I operate multiple businesses. So I'm a recording artist, but then also I teach music too. So I have a business called Starving Artist Courses where I teach music online. So it's a YouTube channel, a bunch of videos teaching multiple instruments, all of that good stuff, right? Then I have a production company with my wife, Payne, last name Payne. So Payne Duo Productions, we do videography, photography, things like that. So it's cool, you know, so different things like that. So we just use like these different gifts that God has given us. And we're like, yo, let's develop this. And that's something I want to kind of share with them is like, the three D's that you want to do to take yourself and your business and everything to the next level is the first, you want to discover what your gift is. That's the first thing, discover your gift, right? And then secondly, you want to be able to develop it. Because you can discover it and that's fine, like, okay, I know what my gift is, and that's it, you know? But then you want to develop it as well so that it gets to that place to where it's can be utilized and used for other individuals, right? And then you want to go ahead and deploy it as well. So you don't want to choose it for yourself. You'll be able to use this gift and be able to spread it and be a blessing and monetize all of it and change the world through it too. So that's the big thing we think of. And we, you know, our little boys too, you know, we got them, they got their little YouTube channel, our oldest is 7, have a YouTube channel, a gaming channel, and a regular channel. We're building their website, doing all this stuff because we're like, they'll need to wait till they're like 18, 19 to get this stuff going. Like, once you see what they have as a gift, go ahead and start developing that right away, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. Mm-hmm.
Are there any questions for the audience?
What is some failures in your career that made you and that you could learn from?
I am a terrible CEO. I've been a CEO for 15 years of my own company, and I always had this idea of what a successful CEO looks like. And I'm finally coming to terms with it now, but I always thought it meant like all this money and all this, you know, clout, if you will. But really, it's about navigating the mission of your business. I have a passion business, so like I think that that's one avenue. People also have businesses just based on, again, streams of revenue and other things. Like, not every business has to be like something you're passionate about. Mine just happens to be. So, you know, what it means to generate revenue, right? There's been a lot of pitches, a lot of business pitches that I have went into and did not win the pitch. I'm just like, this is a great idea. Don't people need to like learn how to play video games? And it'll be learn how to make video games, develop video games, not play. And we all know how to do that already. But I have not won a business pitch yet. But I keep trying. I keep trying, and it's something that I look at not necessarily as a failure, but a lesson to keep improving upon. So, but yeah, those business pitches are hard. So this is how my business works. I have two of them, and one is a media site. So that's journalism, photography, editing, that sort of thing. How we express our stories, how we express our narratives within the industry of video games. So that's sugargamers.com. And then I have Sugar Gamers Labs, which is a research and development company. And it's something I always wanted to have because Black people don't usually have research and development companies because I actually don't even know why. But there are departments at like Disney and Nintendo and Sony and NBA, whatever, right? And they're giving these huge budgets, millions of dollars, to make mistakes. To make mistakes. To learn from those mistakes and to do research so they can have like the best products. And I think like how cool would it be for us to have that in our community? So that's what Sugar Gamers Labs is, and we experiment making games. So whether that's a tabletop game, whether that's a video game, we're gonna make some games and we're gonna put something on a portfolio. So that's how I like have apprentices or interns in that company. What we're working on currently is a game about how to develop games. So we have a game called Game Gigs. It's got 56 different careers in it so that people can have a more expanded understanding of how the industry works. Because a lot of people think it's just being on Twitch and or being in esports, and that's actually not true. You can be an audio programmer. You can be a narrative designer. You can be so much more than just a technical individual. So that's basically sort of the deconstruction of like the industry as a whole. So I'm always looking for people. So if you're interested, you know, if any of you are interested, so and have some energy because I am a high energy person. So yeah, just come and hang out with me for a bit after.
What are you doing music again? You sing, right? But then do you also like engineer, produce?
So. Right, so I do engineer. I actually got my Pro Tools certification back in 2014. So I'm proficient in anything, any DAW.
Do you guys have internships?
I can. I normally find out in these type of environments, I don't have, everything is more so where I'm flown to or where I'm working at. There's always an intern there. However, I'm open to anybody and turn it with me here. I'll get you information. We can definitely work it out.
So that's what I'm going to college for. I want to go to college for software engineering.
Nice.
So can you tell me anything about, like, you know, like it, or how do you think that role would be, like, any advice?
Well, let me ask you really quick. What do you mean by software engineering?
Well, anything, like, that's tech, I feel like.
All right, I'm going to give you some harsh advice here. How old are you?
I'm 16.
All right, you're going to have to really, really start getting accustomed to learning immediately, consistently, always. Don't wait till you get to college at all. So right now, you need to look up what a software engineer is because that's a very expansive term. And once you do that, you have to pick which one you want to start with. So software engineering, finding your specific angle that you want to get into software engineering, and then finding projects in which you can start, you know, experimenting with that now is going to be really, really effective. So I can't encourage that enough.
Brittany, I have a question for you. How important is networking in your business growth?
So it's very important. In 2018, I left my full-time job and I wanted to really pursue doing, like, building up my business and establishing, like, my clientele and things like that. I am a natural introvert, and when I realized I would not be able to make money from the comfort of my couch, it was the biggest shock almost to me, and I was like, oh, you actually have to go to events. You actually have to, even if it's online and you're on Instagram and you just, you know, you see people who are in your field and you establish a relationship by just, you know, commenting on a post, but then that turns to something real. There were people who, just by virtue of me networking, you know, I got put in a lot of different places. I worked with a lot of different celebrities, and you wouldn't think just from calligraphy, right? Like, you would be in these different places, but you work with celebrities who need calligraphy for a birthday party or a bridal shower, able to be on television because somebody whispered my name in a room and they wanted a segment to talk about, you know, calligraphy. And so the networking part, it's partially active on your end, but your name will precede you if you network correctly. And there will be people who, if you network correctly, will start talking about you and you don't even know it. And so just last year, I had a big contract with a company, and this year, a director of the person who I had initially worked with reached out to me and said, oh, this person told me you were a recruitment firm and we would love to have 20 more events with you. And I'm like, you know, I'm away. But because of, but it's also in terms of the recruitment firm, it's because I was finding other calligraphers for events that I couldn't make and saying, hey, you know, I can't make it, but I have this person, I have that person. I'm putting other people into rooms. And so all of it trickles down into how networking is super important.
So when you were, because that's a whole business in itself, when you can't make it, you send someone else, were you getting paid from that referral or like?
So in the entire contract, what I did was negotiate kind of a blended rate.
Okay.
And so from there, if I could not make it, they were paid from that. Mm-hmm. But yes, like, for instance, and this is the part we can get into later, but I would ask people, what's your rate?
Mm-hmm.
And when they tell me, if my blended rate is higher than that, then I get the difference. Because it's not necessarily on me to tell you, oh, we have $250 an hour in the budget for this. It's on you to tell me that your rate is $250 an hour. And so from there, you know, I was, and that's a real rate for me going on site to do calligraphy and write for people and engrave. And so, yeah, so that's kind of, in terms of answering your question, yeah.
$250 an hour?
That's an associate rate. I also work at a law firm. That's a junior associate rate.
Wow.
For an attorney.
And just to be clear, real quick, that's not $2.50. I'm sorry.
That part.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to know, anybody can answer this question, but like in your specific field, how did you find your niche? What you liked the most and what you were going to fit into to make the most money, especially in like such a wide variety of whatever you guys do. Like, you know, it's just so many people there.
I'll take a stab. Being that the music industry itself is oversaturated and has morphed from up to my age. I grew up in a time where I would go to stores and buy CDs and buy tapes, you know what I'm saying? They'll have Walkmans in the car, all that kind of stuff. But now, you pull up your phone, you can stream anything you want to. So it being so oversaturated, for me personally, I've had to figure out how far do I want to go? And also, who do I want to connect with? How much money do I want to make? And I found it recently, maybe within like the last 5 years, that I like to be in the background, even though I do network, you know what I'm saying? But I don't like talking that much. And so I like to be in the background, it's not about music. And so what I've done over the last 5 years, I've been doing sync licensing for like TV shows and for like commercials, stuff like that. I work with a company now And we just got done doing some stuff for Netflix, stuff for my girl. You know what I'm saying? But that's stuff I do from home. And I don't have to be around anybody. I sing and I write and I produce at the crib. I send it out. Now they give you a list of what they're looking for and you have to adhere to that list. And then from there, 9 times out of 10, in most cases, it'll get picked up. If not, it's in the queue for something later. So yeah, you have to figure out what it is. Also, I'm really good at vocal producing. I just got flown out last month to do a vocal production session for Brie Babineau, who's a gospel artist. You know what I'm saying? So again, like, it's just about what you want to do and how you got to put yourself out there. Y'all got the loop. Y'all got Instagram, social media. That's your calling card. You know what I'm saying? For the most part, and that's kind of how I get my work now. But back then, it was really about my brother Philip Fixer, who was the MD here. He didn't gatekeep any information from me. You know what I'm saying? Finding somebody like us up here who's gonna tell you all the jewels dropping on you, so that way you can say, okay, well, they told me this, they put this in my hands, so that way now y'all can run with it. So, yeah.
Peaches.
This would go for anybody. When y'all first started y'all business, I want y'all to think of a time when y'all were really like discouraged, like really wanted to quit. What made y'all keep going?
That's a good question.
I can answer that.
I'm like, he says too, though.
We all got to answer that. So it's been about 2.5 years since I just went full in as an entrepreneur. I used to work somewhere, then I would kind of like moonlight and work my business, like after I would get off and do things like that. And I just felt God, you know, just telling me like it's time for you to just fully go in and just put your faith in me and use the gift that you call, you know, you called me to do, you know. But there'll be different seasons and stuff where you're just trying to get everything going, like whether it's putting an entity together, whether it's getting a team. That's the biggest thing. Like, for something to thrive, you need a team. And then having those seasons and stuff where it's just kind of like just you working on everything, those are the moments I was like, okay, this is too much. This is daunting. Can't handle it. And then realizing, okay, let me actually pause. And I want you guys to practice this now, again, before you guys get to your 20s and all that stuff. Write out everything you need. Like, this is my business. This is what I want to do. Just make a list. Like, look at every single thing to the nitty-gritty of what you're going to need for your business to thrive. And then you want to pay attention to 3 things as it relates to that. A lot of things comes in threes, you know. Your guy comes in threes, all of this stuff. You know, everything comes in threes, right? But you want to be able to find ways to automate it, you know, which is where you don't have to physically do it. Like, stuff that you got to have in place, like we're talking about technology. Technology can do it for you, automating, right? Things that you can delegate to other people, things that, like, I don't have to be the one to do this task. I delegate this to someone. Yeah. And then the third thing is things that you can eliminate. Things that's like, this isn't necessarily really moving the needle for my business and stuff like that. So I had to kind of wrestle and go through that to kind of get through that, like, discouraging funk, you know, that I was having and things like that. That makes sense. Yeah.
So for me, I'm really tough on myself, but in like a tough love type of way, because I just be doing too much sometimes. So one of my motto is always, do you want success or do you want sympathy? And I sit there sometimes when I'm looking at certain people and I'm like, oh my God, this person is so much farther than I am, or this happened. And I'm like, okay, so what are you gonna do to get there? A lot of that comes with reckoning on my bad habits and the things that I know that I need to cut out doing. So I have a big problem with saying no. And there was a particular year, it was 2021, like the wedding season was absolutely insane because we had just came off of the lockdowns, and so people were back outside, and it's like everybody wanted, you know, and they had money saved up because they couldn't get married the last year. So all these extravagant budgets and people wanting, you know, calligraphy and things like that for their weddings. And so I had one weekend where it was 3 weddings, just that one weekend. And because I did not say no to people, and I took on more than I could handle. And one person in particular, and the lesson in taking on more than you can handle is that people don't look at that as you're doing them a favor. Once you say yes, it is an obligation. You are required to it, and they do not, you know, you don't get a pass because you said yes. And so from there, I had one client who, she was just taking forever to get me things. She wasn't following my timelines. And same day, she was picking up I had literally got her seating chart. She had about 200 guests. I had literally gotten that day, and I'm working on it. Long story short, there were a lot of errors on it because we were, you know, I didn't have enough time. And then I look and I notice, like a week later, I have this horrible review on Yelp that haunts me to this day. And like literally wanted to quit from that because I wanted to be like, I mean, but your nerve, because of the fact that this is your problem, like, you know, but you can't do that either, right? So just the biggest thing is to identify and take accountability of when you come to a crossroads at a failure, what part did you play in it, right? And so from there, just being able to learn from that and grow from that, and then that is really what pushed me. So it's like now, next thing, next step. Don't take on more than you can handle. So it's just a lesson that you learn from the failures, really.
That's really good. I am a gamer, so I lose all the time. I fail all the time. There's nothing that you can do that's new that you're going to just be immediately good at. And if you think that that's what's going to get you through, that you're going to be young and lucky and have a sustainable business, it's just not how it works, especially now with things constantly changing and you're constantly having to learn what's new. I wanted to quit all the time, all the time. I've lost friends. I have lost sleep, I've lost health, I've you know, really sacrificed a lot. And during those moments, asking if it was worth it, you know, and this is why if you're choosing a career that you're passionate about, make sure that you know yourself so you're in alignment with what you're in it for, right? Because if you're good with yourself, then your blessings are going to put you in that right direction. So every time that I wanted to quit, I had some young adult be in my DMs like, hey, this is what I want to do in life, and can I work with you? Or a mom that didn't know that video games were even a viable career. They were telling their kids, don't play video games, don't pursue a career in this because it's a waste of time, go get something else. And then they see what I'm doing, and then they realize, like, oh my God, I've been, you know, not supportive of my child's dreams. And I'm just like, all right. And then on top of that, being a Black woman in this industry, it gives me a lot of responsibility because there's not many of us that own businesses. If y'all know them, please let me know because I'm looking for them too. So, but yeah, it's hard. But what makes it awesome is that it's fulfilling to not quit and to like see everything, to take inventory of the wins, right? Like we constantly remember what's bad and a lot of the failures, but we have to take inventory of the wins because that's how you level up, you know? If any of you play games, yeah, you lose a whole bunch of times. After a little while, you get better, you level up, and that's kind of how I look at it. That's how I get through.
I love the responses. I would say for me, especially involved with music, my dad used to say something to me as a kid, I didn't understand until I got grown, is that the cemetery is full of rich people. You know what I'm saying? It's like dreams and aspirations and things that they wanted to do that they couldn't do or didn't do. And me, I'm just not okay with going to the grave full. Yep. I'm not okay with leaving here. It's cool if I try and I fail, but to not try or to not like go after my dreams, go after my goal, I'm not cool with that. You know what I'm saying? So, and what keeps me from not quitting, there's been times, especially when you get a lot of no's. Because in music, you're gonna get a lot of no's. Like, I've had opportunities to present songs for Rihanna, for Brandy, for a couple other artists. And in my mind, my song is gonna be a song. You know what I'm saying? I got the right producer, I got the right team, we sweet, we locked in. Here you go. And you get that email that says, we're gonna go another direction. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, okay. What you do after a no is so important. You know what I'm saying? Like, after that no, it's everybody got a plan to get the hit. You know what I'm saying? You gotta get up, you gotta keep pushing, you gotta keep moving. Just be okay with not being okay, going, leaving this earth, not fulfilling your dreams.
Yeah.
please go after them as much as you can.
Thank you so much.
Okay, before we close out, I have a question for each of our panelists. How do you define success?
So I define success by, one, are you doing right by people? And then is what you're doing making you happy? And then from there you can go into obviously like the financials and things like that. But I think that if you start from those two things, and I know like usually you're talking about like your passions, and I mean everyone up here was talking about like your passion. So if you start from that place, and then you're able to, if you're able to monetize it, and to bring other people in, to have other people, you know, buy into that dream and respect that dream, then for me, that is success. And it won't always be linear, it won't go in a straight line. You might bounce from different point to point. There may be one area over here that you're successful in, but even in that same business venture, you may be failing on something else. So don't look at it as, you know, don't even compartmentalize the failures, right? Like look at it holistically and say, am I still moving, am I still pushing? And for me, if you're still going, then you're successful.
I have to say, getting up every morning and being myself. Like, I get to do what I want, and it's hard. It is not always the easiest thing, but I get to be me, and I get to be present. And I was just talking to Aisha, just being able to have good health, to be in community, to like feel good and to find joy in your life. A lot of people are stuck, they're trapped in lives that they don't want to live, being people that they don't like. And it's really easy when your definition of success isn't really in alignment with you spiritually. So like a lot of people like money or, you know, relationships or looking nice. And I have to tell you, I'm 40. I was recently diagnosed with breast cancer. My grandmother and my father died recently. And I know that all that sounds tragic, but I still get up and I'm happy because I get to do stuff like this, working in an industry that I've been passionate about for years. It's 15 years I've been doing this business, and I get to do what I want. I don't have to go to a job to survive. And that is something I'm very proud of. That is my success. I'm not driving a Benz. I'm not having Yeezys or nothing. But, you know, I get to do what I want.
So success for me is operating in your God-likeness. So, like, you know, you don't have to go too far, too deep in scripture to see what your purpose is. Just right there from Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, you see your purpose, right? So in the beginning, God created it. So the first thing he shows us of himself is that he's a creator, he creates. And then he also says that we're made in his image, right? So if we're made in his image and in his likeness, we are to create as well. That's what our calling is, that's what our purpose is. I'm a huge Kobe Bryant fan, like huge, just like my guy, like all day. So, you know, you look at my podcast and stuff, you see like, you know, Kobe stuff over in the corner, all this and whatever. But Mamba Mentality, I just got that book. That was all I asked for Christmas. That's the only thing I was that book. I love it. But Mamba Mentality says, it's the constant quest to become the very best version of yourself. So it's not trying to be what this other person is or what they're doing. Or, man, they have this level of success, I don't, whatever. You have a specific purpose and a specific calling. And that's when you want to tap in to who you are and whose you are. And once you get that, everything else is just going to flow. Like, everything is going to flow, trust me. So to be the best version of who you are, that for me, you know, is what success is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm a little silly. I think my version of success, especially now, I'll be 40 next Thursday. So, I think success for me and what has been successful the last 5 to 7 years is being able to put all of my bills on holiday. You know what I'm saying? Especially moving from a renter to homeowner to being married, taking care of a wife, and I always had children. When now I got a little son. You know what I'm saying? So now my major bills, like everything's not okay. And so I don't have to worry about that. So that's success. And don't get blinded by, now I used to, because especially in the beginning, like wanting what Instagram. And then I also had the opportunity to be around it. Like I've been to LA. I've been in the studios. I've seen the things. I've seen the cars. I've been picked up in these cars and driven these cars. I've seen the diamonds. I've gone in the stores. I've seen the money. Like, so that, don't get swayed by that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that'll come. You just do what you're supposed to. But then set that standard of what success looks like for you. It could be auto pay bills. It could be if you want a Tesla. It could be a Tesla. It could be if you want a condo downtown. It could be that. However, whatever it is, just set your goal there and work hard at it every single day. You're gonna get told no, it's gonna happen, but keep pushing. Please don't quit. And I say continue, do not quit.
Awesome, you guys give it up for our guest speakers.